From KERA in Dallas, this is Think. I'm Chris Boyd, speaking today with National Medal of the Humanities laureate Stanley Nelson, whose new documentary is called Tell Them We Are Rising, The Story of Black Colleges and Universities. It premieres Monday, February 19th on PBS stations around the country. Stanley, welcome to Think.
Thank you so much.
Historically, black colleges and universities are called an unapologetic black space in this film. Are those spaces hard to come by in America?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, if you add the word intellectual, then it's really, you know, black colleges and universities that are only unapologetically black intellectual space in this country. They've been very, very important to African-Americans, and they still are.
It's really interesting to think about the remarkable experience of students who maybe didn't grow up surrounded by black culture, who were in the minority in their high school or their neighborhood or even their city.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of the film. The last piece of the film is today, and we profile two women. You know, one of them said she never had a black teacher in her life, and so, you know, the first time she had a black teacher was when she went to HBCU.
So the first goal that many people had upon gaining freedom from slavery was to be educated. Great Americans like Booker T. Washington, who was born into slavery, dreamed of being allowed to learn. As a boy, he imagined being allowed into a schoolhouse would feel like getting into heaven. That's really amazing.
Yeah, it's a great story. I think, you know, one of the stories that people don't know is that not only was it illegal all throughout the South for African Americans to learn to read and write, but it was actually illegal for their white masters, so-called masters, to teach them how to read and write. As someone says in the film, you know, this is my slave. I can do anything I want to this slave. I can kill them. I can rape them. I can maim them. But one of the laws that was on the books was that I cannot teach them to read and write. So I think that goes to show how important reading and writing was and how much it was feared. As someone says again in the film, that, you know, an educated population could not be an enslaved population.
So is that why white Americans were so frightened by the idea of black Americans attaining education?
I mean, one of the things that came to me, you know, when I was making the film was, I mean, if you can imagine being enslaved in the South, that's the only world you know. So, you know, you have to think that you know, slavery went on for hundreds of years. This went on for over a couple of hundred years. So the only world you know is the world, you know, of your plantation and maybe the next plantation. So you don't know that there's an Africa. You don't know that there's a Europe. You don't know that there's a China. You don't know that anything else exists except this world of enslavement that you live in. It's a pretty, you know, kind of all-encompassing world. And you can understand why, you know, education was something to be feared.
And restrictions on black education, this surprised me. They were not limited to the American South. There were lots of places in the North that didn't allow black people to be educated.
Yeah, we tell a great story in the film about, you know, before the Civil War, a group of people got together and wanted to start a college for black men in New Haven, Connecticut. And the town rose up and stopped it. The mayor writes an incredible letter where he says, this will just ruin the town if we have throngs of black people coming here to be educated. No, we can't do this.
What role did the AME, the African Methodist Church, play in the founding of black colleges?
Well, one of the things that happened right after the Civil War was that different groups went into the South to provide education. One group that was very big was the American Missionary Association, a group of largely white folks from the North, and started educating. But then the African Methodist Episcopal Church, largely, and other black churches says, well, you know, wait a minute. You know, we want to also be part of this. And so many of the first schools that were started were religious-based and were started by the African Methodist Episcopal Church and others.
And, of course, the idea was that, in part, that these schools would train the teachers who would help children start learning.
Right. Because, you know, again, you know, you have this uneducated population and there's no teachers, you know, there's nobody to teach them. So the first thing that was done was, okay, let's start teaching people to be teachers. And then that kind of went on to become the colleges that we know today.
If you'd like to hear this whole conversation, check out the Think podcast. Simply look for Think in the Explore section of NPR One or use search to find it. You can also subscribe at think.kera.org or wherever you get your podcasts.